The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This is your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This is Triangle Business Journal. We'll start today with our cover story, our real estate economy. They also have cover stories on that, as well as Voices, Real Estate Pros Talk 2017 Market, Projects, Projects Changing Area Skyline, Space, Inside the Numbers. So we'll be heading on with those stories right now, starting with the cover story. Voices of Real Estate Experts. Brian Kane, Senior Vice President of Acquisitions, Federal Capital Partners. What will be some of the highlights of concerns of the Triangle Capital Markets in 2017 as it relates to both new development and acquisitions dispositions? Availability for construction financing has slowed considerably, and in conjunction with rising costs is causing new development to fall short of acceptable returns in many instances. On the acquisition side, core buyers have become more cautious with less robust demand, which is likely to lead to flat to falling valuations. For ValueAid, there remains a great deal of capital chasing yield, which continues to provide for rich pricing requiring aggressive assumptions to achieve sufficient returns. Tom French says, Managing Director of CBRE Raleigh, what would be some of the highlights of concerns of the Triangle office market in 2017? There is approximately 1.6 million square feet of Class A office space scheduled to be delivered in 2017, which has already been 45% pre-leased. We believe the market will continue to experience strong leasing activity in 2017. The combination of these two dynamics should result in the Class A office market continuing to experience a vacancy rates and others under the 10% rule. Ed Brown, Industrial Investment and Land Broker Specialist, NAI Realty. What will be some of the highlights or concerns of the Triangle Flex Warehouse Market in 2017? Larger users' activity has slowed down, and recently consolidations and built-to-suite deals are expected to come back to the market next year with about 300,000 square feet of increased vacancy. But activity among industrial tenants needing between 20,000 to 40,000 square feet remains strong, and the lack of end-users product to purchase for investors has pushed in prices for sellers. Amy Watkins, Vice President of Retail Services, York Properties. What will be some of the highlights or concerns of the Triangle retail market in 2017? The traditional grocery expansion that we have seen over the last few years with Harris Teeter and Publix will likely slow down, while Sprouts, Liddy, Aldi, and others like Wegmans will continue their entry into the market with multiple stores. New developments for retail will be centered around mixed-use developments of urban redevelopments and will focus on tenants who can deliver on the experiences such as chef-driven restaurants and more local retail tenants. Suburban retail will continue to stay strong as the market expands outward toward 540, but most likely they will continue to be powered by retail as the market continues to absorb the power center developments that come online in 2015 and 2016. Looking at offices, Class A rates up. The Triangle office market has posted health gains among its multi-tenanted Class A properties over the past 5 years, prompting landlords to raise rental rates by 5 to 7% per year. However, much of that growth has been at the expense of Class B office marketing. The big numbers there, which is suffering as big campus employers in Research Triangle Park, such as Glasgow, SmithKline, Monsanto, and Cedarfield, downsize and leave behind vacant specialized laboratory buildings that are expensive to modify and change for a different kind of tenant base. Now, the big numbers say 7.9%, the average Class A vacancy rate in third quarter 2016, the lowest rate since 2001. Now, 4.6 million is the total of vacant lab office and storage square footage available for lease or for sale in the Research Triangle Park area, that's I-40 submarket. We're looking at 1,902,177 office square feet. Office total leasable is 46.7 million compared to 54.1 million from 2012 to 2016. And the 12-month absorption, 875,000 to 779,000 from 2012 to 2016. The retail food fight intensifies. The grocery store battles that were forecast for the triangle a couple of years ago are finally coming to fruition, with no fewer than 16 new grocery store anchors expected to be open or under construction in the next 2 years. Most will be moving into neighborhood centers catering to a population within a 3 to 5 mile radius. Some, like the new Wegmans stores in Raleigh, Cary, and Chapel Hill, will pull from a 10-mile radius or more and can prove to be disruption among the markets, existing grocery leaders, and the shopping centers they occupy. By the numbers, 8, number of new shopping centers that have opened since 2012. 2.3 million total square footage of new retail added through the 8 new shopping centers that have opened since 2012. 973,000, the amount of additional grocery store space, is under construction or planned in the next 2.5 years. Retail total leasability from 2012 was 42.6 million, and 2016 it went to 45.7 million. 12-month absorption, 2012 looked at 375,000, 2016, 880,000. In the warehouse, demand increases. The Triangle region is not known to be a strong destination for warehouse users, but over the past 2 years, improvements in the economy have driven high demand for industrial space for supply and logistic companies surfacing the Triangle in the eastern part of North Carolina. Warehouse vacancy rates within the Triangle's two dominant industrial submarkets in eastern Wake County and along the Research Triangle Park I-40 corridor have dropped 6.5% and 7.5% respectively, with construction commencing at 3 new industrial parks. Big numbers, 11, number of new industrial buildings to open or break ground since January 2015, 1.46 million total square footage of new industrial buildings to open or break ground since January 2015. 601,000 warehouse square feet under construction as of the third quarter of 2016. Warehouse total leasability, 27.6 million for 2012 and 29.9 million for 2016, which is 88.29%. 12-month absorption, 2012 saw 443,000 and 2016 saw 1.2 million. In flex, holding steady, the flex market spans the gamut of specialized single-story office and lab buildings bordering the edges of Research Triangle Park to the half-office, half-warehouse buildings that so many service providers depend on for small businesses. Over the past 5 years, the flex market has held its own with a steady increase in occupancy and little new construction. Big numbers, 496, number of flex properties of 10,000 square feet of more tracked in TBJ's three-quarter 2016 space survey. 280,292 is the average annual absorption of flex space over the past 5 years. 40,935, average annual construction of new flex space over the past 4 years. Flex total leasability is 17 million for 2012, 17.2 million for 2016, and for the 12-month absorption, 402,000 in 2012, and then it went down to 274,000 in the year 2016. We look at the top construction projects in the triangle. Novo Nordisk has $1.8 billion. 833,000 square foot diabetics medicine production facility in Clayton. Completion will be in 2021. NC Heart and Vascular Hospital, $235 million, an eight-story, 300,000 square foot hospital expansion on the campus of UNC Rex Healthcare in Raleigh. Completion early 2017. Groffles, $232 million, an expansion of production plant in Clayton, plus construction of $22.5 million, three-story, 100,000 square foot office building, completion in 2021. The Dillion, $125 million, an 18-story mixed-use tower in downtown Raleigh with 227,000 square feet of office space, rooftop dining, air apartments and retail, completion in spring 2018. The Chesterfield, $128 million, redevelopment of former cigarette manufacturing plant in downtown Durham into a 284,000 square foot office and laboratory building with retail square and spaces, completion in first quarter of 2017. Now let's take a look at the list. Taking a look back, TBJ opened the vault and took a look back at how the commercial real estate development scene has changed since 2012. What follows is a look at each year since that year and the top five developers on each year's list. 2012, SF developed in Triangle from 2007 through 2011. Duke Realty, $1,500,000. The Keith Core, a little over $1.2 million. Kane Realty Group, a little over $1 million. First Carolina Properties, a little over $800,000. Craig Davis Properties, a little less than $700,000. 2014, SF Developing Triangle for 2009 through 2013. Kane Realty Corp, almost $2.6 million. The Keith Corp, almost $2 million. Castle Southeast Realty Services, almost $700,000. The Lundy Group, a little over $600,000. Kite Realty Group, a little over $600,000. In 2013, SF developed in Triangle from 2008 through 2012. The Keith Group at $1.2 million. Duke Realty, a little at $1.1 million. Kane Realty Group, $1.1 million. First Carolina Properties, a little over $1.1. Highwoods Properties at $730,000. In 2015, SF developed in Triangle from 2010 through 2014. Kane Realty Corp, a little over $2.2 million. The Keith Group, a little less than $1 million. Duke Realty, a little over $800,000. Castle Southeast Realty Services, a little over $600,000. Kite Realty, a little over $600,000. Now up close, North Hills developer Kane Realty Group, project facts. More than 130 shops and restaurants and 850,000 square feet of retail space. Holly Springs Town Center, developer Kite Realty Group, project facts, anchored by Target, Dick's Sporting Goods, and Marshalls. Glen Lake, developer, Highwoods Properties. Property facts, office park that includes multiple buildings in Raleigh. By the numbers, 1.7 million, the square footage of commercial space developed in the Triangle in the first 6 months of 2016 by Kane Realty Corp. Three, the number of developers on this year's list that have developed more than 1 million square feet of commercial space in the Triangle in the past 5 years. Here's a quick look at the total commercial square footage developed in the Triangle by past list makers since 2012. 2007 through 2011, 10,925,702. 2008 through 2012, 10,386,511. 2009 through 2013, 8,011,850. 2010 through 2014, 8,494. In the Triangle Business Journal, Crane watched the big map of projects. If there was ever a time for an interactive map of the Triangle development, it's now. We are excited to showcase our exclusive map with more than 100 projects. This new digital interactive map will be continuously updated as our readers click to learn more about the tremendous number of construction projects in town. Click on any of the points on the map to view a rendering of photo or of the site. You'll get a description of the project, the developers behind it, and where work stands today. Each map item also contains a hyperlink taking you to a list of stories that were written about the project. The tabs across the top allow you to view projects by category. For example, you can isolate just hotels or apartment projects. It's a tool to help you navigate the changing face of the triangle. In this section called Catering Ninja, a new way to order catering. For customers ordering catering, get offers from caterers. That's right. No more searching for caterers and making calls to see if they are available. Just enter in an event, number of people, price per person, and other specifics, and have caterers send you offers. We make it easy to create an event, view, negotiate, and confirm offers, including payment. Create your event. Create an event, select how many people, location, and price per person. Add any special needs or request. View offers. Caterers will send you offers that you can review and respond to with questions or changes. Confirm your sale. After you select an offer, the caterer will confirm acceptance and we will process the payment for you. Now, the event sent. Customers create an event, select how many people, location, and price per person, and add any special needs or request. Making an offer is the same. You create your own unique offer or pick from a template you created. This allows you to compete to get the business instead of using a static menu. And again, you confirm the sale. Customers will receive the offer and can ask you questions. You can even counteroffer. If selected, we handle the invoices and payment for you. Again, this is Catering Ninja. Now for caterers, engage customers before the buy. Normally, you advertise in hopes of influencing the customer's decision. Now you can create a custom offer and engage every customer before they purchase for free. You only pay a small commission if you win the business. We make it easy to view events, create offers, and save them as templates. Message about changes and confirm events, including invoices and payments. If you want more information about that, you can contact 919-792-8924. Again, that is 919-792-8924, or go to info@cateringninja.com. In the section called A Better World, Helping Hand, volunteers make shelters feel like home. 2 years ago, a friend suggested that Charlotta Sejoling donate some pillows to HomeStart, a Chapel Hill homeless shelter for women and children operated by the Interfaith Council for Social Service. When she dropped off 20 pillows at the shelter, Sojling was taken aback by the bleakness of the rooms, which had been bare walls and contained little more than metal bunk beds with worn-out bedding and towels and dressers. The experience inspired her, an interior designer, to remake a bedroom in the shelter so it, quote, feels like home, she says. She bought and donated new bedding, pillows, decorative pillows, blankets, curtains and curtain rods, rugs, side tables, towels, shower curtains, bathroom shelves, shower products, wall art and mirror, small decorative items, and an alarm clock, all for $500. That effort led her to launch a program to recruit other donors and volunteers to remake other rooms. Initially called Donate a Room, A Lot of Love operates with its own advisory board and also supports emergency and homeless shelters run by Families Moving Forward in Durham and Haven House Services and Interact, both in Raleigh. Supporting its partnership with Interact is a new chapter in Wake Forest for A Lot of Love. The organization also plans to partner with Urban Ministries of Durham. An all-volunteer group, A Lot of Love, has enlisted about 200 volunteers, and in its first year, it served nearly 130 women, nearly 170 children, and 300 families. At a cost of roughly $500 per room, the organization has provided about $120,000 worth of makeovers, including bedrooms, living rooms, teen rooms, and playrooms, plus a flower and vegetable garden and a playground. A Lot of Love has developed partnerships with Lowe's, World Market, IKEA, and Sherwin-Williams, which have donated products, and with Witzel Consulting, Cisco, and Spoonflower, which provided volunteers and donated funds or products. We provided all the information you need to donate and do your own room, says Solian. Anyone can lead a hand, anyone can lend a hand and be part of their donation. A Lot of Love provides donors with a one-page summary of the products and materials they can donate to a room in a shelter, including a description of the family and the gender, ages, and special interests of the children. Often fueled by poverty or domestic violence, homelessness in the region is a serious problem, Solgen says, and those staying in shelters typically have jobs or are enrolled in school. When you walk into a shelter, you're basically lost. You've basically lost everything, she says. You've hit rock bottom. We don't talk about making it beautiful, she says. We talk about respect and dignity and showing them that we care, that we believe in them, and giving them a place they can stay for a longer period of time to build themselves up. We're creating a home away from home. Todd Cohen, publisher of Philanthropy North Carolina at www.philnc.org, and he is a contributor of Triangle Business Journal. If you would like more information about being a part of the search, just look up Lot of Love Organization or Urban Ministries in Durham to get more information. In more nonprofit news, Ovation Cinema Grill 9 opened earlier this month in Holly Springs. New Holly Springs Theater gives back. Ovation Cinema Grill 9 opened earlier this month in Holly Springs with a series of preview days that donated all proceeds to charity. The theater, located at 320 Grand Hill Place in the Holly Hills Town Center complex, raised $12,000 for local charities, including Meg Smile Foundation, Holly Springs Food Cupboard, and several local public schools. Rob Collins, Carmike Chef Marketing Officer, presented a $12,000 check to the representatives from the nonprofits that were in attendance. Ovation Cinema Grill 9 offers people a chance to watch a movie while enjoying food and local craft beers. Volunteers needed for Chapel Hill Drive. Table NC in Chapel Hill is looking for volunteers, especially for afternoon deliveries and snack shelf shifts. The nonprofit provides healthy food for hungry children in Chapel Hill and Carborough. Table NC also seeks nutritionist food donations like granola bars for breakfast, cans of tuna chicken for lunch, and snacks like hummus, nuts, fruit, and crackers. The effort dates back to 2006 when Chapel Hill resident Joy McVane started leaving out cookies for UNC Chapel Hill students on their way to class. McVane no longer lives in the area but remains involved, a spokeswoman, she said. The program now reaches more than 500 children in need and is looking to expand across Orange County. Big donation. CenturyLink is donating $25,000 for disaster relief in North Carolina, with the money split equally between the Red Cross and the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. We hope our donation helped those in need receive care and support after the devastating storms and flooding, says Rondi Ferguson, CenturyLink Vice President of Operations for North Carolina. In the Executive Voice, Ashley Campbell is the focus. Lawyer leads new effort to aid those in need. It's a Q&A going on here from Jennifer Henderson talking to Ashley Campbell. Ashley Campbell, a litigation partner at Ragsdale Leggett, is leading Campbell Law School's new community law clinic, which was funded by a $150,000 grant from the Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation. At the clinic, Campbell supervises 8 third-year law students who have registered for a 3-credit course that sees them assist clients referred to the clinic by local nonprofits, Raleigh Rescue Mission, Urban Ministries of Wake County, and Step Up Ministry. In addition to her work at the firm and clinic, Campbell is also president-elect of the Wake County Bar Association. The clinic opened in September and is already seeing clients. How's it going so far? Things are going really well, Campbell says. I think that the most exciting part of this experience has been the enthusiasm from the community about the clinic and about the work that we're doing. Lawyers especially recognize how much need there is in the community for pro bono legal assistance and have been very enthusiastic with their support. Also, we have 3 community partners, Urban Ministries, the Raleigh Rescue Mission, and Step Up Ministry, and they are already referring clients to us. It has been a wonderful service that they've been able to offer their clients who are trying to overcome a criminal background or other things in their past that are prohibiting them from moving forward. What is your favorite part about working with the clients of the clinic? We're meeting with people who have historically not been able to afford representation, and so they are incredibly grateful that we are here and can provide the help they need. A lot of the time, their issues are not that complicated. They don't necessarily require a really sophisticated legal service. It's something that for an average lawyer would be pretty simple to do, but for the person that we're serving, it's extremely important. What is your favorite part about teaching students at the clinic? The students are so impressive. I am inspired by both their intelligence and their compassion, as well as their desire to serve people. What has been the biggest challenge at the clinic thus far? One of the most significant challenges that we're going to face is funding. We started with a $150,000 grant from the Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation. We have received additional donations from community foundations and lawyers, but we would need to identify a significant and sustainable source of funding for the clinic if we are going to continue our efforts. The clinic has sufficient funding for 3 years of operations, and so we're currently working to identify folks who are going to be willing to provide additional funding. That is an ongoing effort. When you're not at a clinic, what kind of matters are you working on at the firm? I am a business litigator and a real estate litigator. Most of the work that I do involves economic injuries, not personal injuries, and I represent businesses that are dealing with some kind of dispute. As it relates to real estate, I do a lot of work for title insurance companies. I help clear defects in title. I also enjoy that work very much. One of the things that is most fun about it is if you're working on something like a boundary line dispute, to go out and see the property that is at issue so you can really understand the boundary line issues of that. What does your role as president-elect of the Wake County Bar Association entail? And how does your involvement benefit your work at the firm and at the clinic? In my position as a president-elect, I will be the face of the bar when I become president, chair and the board, and help the bar through the decision-making processes. The position with the Wake County Bar Association has allowed more attention to come to the community clinic, and it's giving me a platform to talk more about the clinic and the work that we're doing. It has given me an opportunity to speak to the Wake County Bar Association about the ways that lawyers can volunteer here at the clinic. How do you juggle your work at the firm, the Bar Association, and the clinic? It's busy, and I also have a 4- and a 6-year-old. The first thing I will say is that I have wonderful law partners who have supported me in everything that I have ever wanted to do, including running for the Wake County Bar and changing my job there so that I could be here at the clinic. I have a very supportive spouse and family and friends. A lot of young lawyers ask me, especially women, although it's not just limited to women, how can you juggle having a family and having a career? What I always say is, it is not easy, but it can be done. I love being a lawyer and I love practicing law. You just have to figure out a way to make it work. I was given very good advice by my mentor at my law firm. She is a very successful female litigator, and her name is Mary Hullett. She said, you have to surround yourself with help. You can't do everything on your own. You have to know when to ask for help. I thought that was very good advice. When you're not practicing law or teaching, what is your favorite thing to do? Reading. When I was a little kid, I used to hide the book I was reading behind my textbook at school and would get in trouble. One time, my parents took all my books away and my library card away to punish me. I'm also in the process of trying to hike the Appalachian Trail. I started in Georgia this year, and my goal is to go to Maine. It's probably going to take me 20 years, but I'm committed to doing it. It's something I'm going to take about 2 weeks off a year to do. Any books you read recently that are favorites? Just Mercy. The author is Brian Stevenson, and he runs the Equal Justice Initiative in Alabama. The book is about the work of his project to exonerate people who are unjustly accused, and also about the work that they've done to try to limit the sentencing for juvenile offenders. What is your favorite piece of advice to give to students in law school? To do well at whatever it is that you are working on, that you distinguish yourself by working hard and delivering a good end product no matter what you're doing. When you're young, your responsibilities are quite limited, but you can distinguish yourself from others by just doing a good job at every job that you're given. People notice, and you'll be given more responsibility and more opportunity. I have definitely found that to be the case with my career. Again, the executive voice is Ashley Campbell. A closer look at Ms. Campbell. Again, Ashley Campbell, job title is litigation partner at Ragsdale Leggett, community law clinic director and Campbell Law School. Her age is 39. Family, husband Russell, children Henry, who's 6, and Caroline, who is 4. Hometown is Gastonia. Education, BA with honors, and JD at UNC Chapel Hill. Her first job growing up was being a babysitter. And now we turn to the section called Biz, a quick glance at Triangle Happenings. UNC grad rocks fashion world with innovations. Chris Lindland hasn't been back to the Triangle since he graduated from UNC Chapel Hill in 1995. Instead, he has been on the West Coast building an internet-based fashion company that is reimagining how people shop for clothes. Lindland will speak November 7th at the UNC's Kenan Flagler Business School. And there's a reason Carolina wants him back. Lindland, CEO of Better Brand, is using crowdsourcing to identify new types of apparel and bringing in significant investor dollars. Better Brand, out of San Francisco, now has 80 employees, Lindland says, and $29 million in investor capital. The company expects revenue this year to be well above $20 million, driven in part by wildly successful dress yoga pants. It was just an idea on our website 3 years ago, says Lindland, originally from San Diego. The website attracts 1 million people a month, some pitching their fashion ideas and others just shopping for clothes. Anyone can pitch an idea and then people vote and comment. If the idea gets enough traction, Better Brand makes a prototype and puts it out for sale. That's where the crowdfunding comes in. If enough people place orders, Better Brand fills them. We'll make anything as long as people will purchase it. Lindland says breaking into the clothing market is difficult, and this provides people with bright ideas the chance to test the market. And if the idea catches on, Better Brand ramps up production. The line of dress yoga pants, for example, is now a big chunk of company revenue. Better Brand has opened a store in San Francisco, but Lindland says the company is internet-focused and will and will remain that way. He says the internet economy is having an indelible and perhaps fatal input on the small mall business model and stores. The mall can't travel home with you. It doesn't live in your phone. Live like a Kane. Homes for former Kane's fine buyers. A Raleigh home once owned by Jason Carmanis, son of California Hurricanes owner Pete Carmanis, sold October 14th. Real estate records show the house is 7,417 square feet, and Jason Carmanis had owned it since it was built in 1999, the year the Hurricanes debuted in Raleigh. The home sold for $1.3 million. Jason Carmanis left Raleigh to become vice president of hockey operations for the Pittsburgh Penguins in 2014. In Pittsburgh, he works with general manager Jim Rutherford, the former GM of the Canes. Rutherford still owns a home in Raleigh's Wakefield neighborhood. Also, Biz reported over the summer that the Raleigh home of former Kane star Eric Stahl was for sale for almost $1.8 million. Realtor John Griffin tells Biz the home is now under contract and the deal should close within a week. Enterprise moved 3,500 cars to North Carolina after Matthew. Hurricane leads to rental car crunch. Two major events, Hurricane Matthew and the High Point market, had an impact on rental car availability in the Triangle this week. One Enterprise location in Raleigh had no cars on the morning of October 26, while the one downtown did. Demand with those impacted by Matthew in need of cars, and the furniture market sucking up demand. Steve Bradway, vice president of general manager of Southeast Region at Enterprise in Charlotte, said the company added 3,500 cars to North Carolina to meet the demand. Clearly, the storm had an effect on rental demand and need, he told Biz from his Charlotte office. Bradway added that Enterprise has more than 1 million cars across the United States. By going forward from October 26, he said there's no shortage of cars. Extensive use of solar panels leads to huge savings at a Cary residence. Cary resident faces electric bill of $9. Want a $9 electric bill? That's exactly what Cary resident John Argatati has achieved through building his own solar house. The North Carolina Sustainable Energy Association is highlighting Argatati's feat as a way to promote the value of solar. Clean energy is new and not always visible to folks across North Carolina, says NCSEA Executive Director Ivan Erlob. Argatati's neighbors have taken notice, and some are already installing solar panels of their own. But put a hold on picking up the hammer. Erlob says having a home energy audit beforehand can help identify the best ways to save energy and money. NC Film Studio busy for a new reason. North Carolina's film scene has been in a slump recently, but for now, the EUE/Screen Gem Studios in Wilmington has plenty of activity. The American Red Cross is using the studio complex as its headquarters for disaster relief operations for the Cape Fear area. The efforts are expected to continue well into November. The Red Cross has been operating at the 10-stage, 50-acre site since October 6th. The operations include coordinating support and taking delivery of food, water, and relief supplies. The Red Cross says help is still needed, both from volunteers and donations. PNC Arena upgraded as hockey arrives. The Carolina Hurricanes are hoping to get you to PNC Arena and looking to upgrade the fan experience. Most notable to fans will be the new lead boards on the upper and lower bowls of the arena. And for fans who want to hang out, two club-level concession stands have been converted into upscale lounges with full bars, culinary stations, and large televisions. The Canes also added more large boxes, sort of a hybrid of luxury suites and premium seats. The Hurricanes averaged 12,203 fans per home game last season, which was last in the NHL by a wide margin. The Canes' home opener is October 28th, which was on Friday against the New York Rangers. Taking a look at real estate right now, grocery wars heat up. Wegmans picks Raleigh site. Wegmans, the New York-based big box grocery chain with a super regional draw, has been leaking information for months about its plan to expand into North Carolina. And with a new deal confirmed as of October 26, a new retail site in Raleigh likely will be the first out of the starting gate. The newest Wegmans North Carolina location will anchor the new Midtown East Retail Center that's in planning stages along Wake Forest Road. The 22.4-acre property is at the site of the now-demolished Alcatel plant between the Costco Wholesale at Six Forks Road and the Trader Joe's anchored Holly Park Retail Center. Chris Widmayer of Regency Center confirms his company would develop the new Midtown East Retail Center in partnership with the landowner, ITB Holdings, LLC. Wegmans spokeswoman Joe Natal says no timeline has been set for the opening of the three stores, but plans for the Raleigh site on Wake Forest Road acred on track to break ground in spring 2017 for a summer or fall 2018 store opening. The introduction of Wegmans and its 120,000 square foot store footprint to the Triangle Market is also expected to create more competition in an already saturated grocery market that's becoming more intense as Publix, Lidl, and others expand into both urban and suburban submarkets around the region. Usually when grocery stores hear that a Wegmans is coming to their marketplace, their first reaction is fear, says Jeremy Diamond, a grocery industry consultant from Baltimore. Usually grocers start slashing prices, and sometimes they fight any kind of zoning change that Wegmans might need because its stores are so large. But when that doesn't happen, some of them go out of business. Wegmans isn't doing it to be mean. They just excel in selection, price, and service, which is rare in grocery chains. Jim Broman, Broman, president of Welker Development in Raleigh, says grocers in the Triangle have already been working to beef up their customer base in anticipation of the new competition. Kroger has been expanding its Kroger Marketplace format in other markets with a store footprint of about 115,000 square feet. Matthews-based Harris Teeter opened one of its largest stores ever with a 78,200 square foot location in Pinehurst in January. Major changes. RTRP board looking toward new vision, new leadership for the future. Following the retirement and departure of the top two leaders of Research Triangle Regional Partnerships in June, Board Chairman John Kane says the partnership's board is taking the organization into a new direction under a new leadership. We are reorganizing and going in a little bit of a different direction, Kane confirms. RTRP, since its start in 1990, has been a research and development support group for the business, government, and economic development leaderships in the 13 member counties within this jurisdiction, a geography that was expanded to 16 counties in 2014. Moving forward, he says, the public-private partnership will be more focused on the marketing and branding of the Research Triangle region rather than devoting so much staff time to the research site, representation, and service contract work that it had provided in the past. We are doing a lot of things different now, and the economic development world has changed, says Kane, a Raleigh real estate developer who also serves on the board leadership of the state-sponsored Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina and the Raleigh-Durham International Airport Authority. The board has retained the Nautical Group executive search firm in Raleigh to expand its search for a new executive director. No more tractors. Lulu leaving Raleigh for space in Research Triangle Park. Lulu Press, the ebook and self-publishing company, is moving from its distinct office building at 3101 Hillsborough Street in Raleigh with the historic tractor sign on top to a smaller location at Keystone Technology Park in Durham near the border with RTP. The renovated former equipment building Lulu has occupied since 2009 has been sold to a developer of student housing complexes, which plans to tear it down and build a 217-unit complex. Lulu has leased a 20,125-square-foot space at 627 Davis Drive, according to the representative of the building's owners at Longfellow Real Estate Partners. We are sad to be leaving our historical building and neighbors, but we are excited about our new modern space and the new things we have in store for Lulu authors. Lulu's Glenn Hunt wrote on the company's blog. To Youngsville, Rocky Top Hospitality buys Boondocks Event Facility. Raleigh restaurant and catering operator Rocky Top Hospitality purchased the Boondocks special event venue on Main Street in Youngsville, adding to its special event company plans with a roster in North Raleigh. The company plans to make it an alternative option for the weddings, parties, and special events it hosts each year. Rocky Top Hospitality owner Dean Ogden noted that the faculty noted that the facility will be rebranded as Cross Plus Main. Franklin County real estate records show that Rocky Top Youngsville LLC paid $775,000 for the fully renovated 3,420-square-foot building and 0.6-acre lot at 201 East Main Street, which is about 15 miles north of the I-540 intersection with Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh. Big number, 714, the new number of jobs projected to be created in Chatham County by the Montaire Farms Poultry Processing Company after announcing plans in May to expand into Siler City. The company's early projection was for only 500 jobs. It's been offered a local incentive package worth about $2.3 million over a six-year time. Businesses cheer as RDU adds direct flight to Austin. This is on our tech and transportation section. It's official. A Delta Airlines direct flight to Austin, Texas, out of Raleigh-Durham International Airport, takes off in 2017, an addition being celebrated by business leaders in both regions. Bill Stone, CEO of Austin-based Digital Turbine, which acquired Durham startup Apia in 2015, says that even without a direct flight, someone from his firm travels between the two cities almost every day. I'm excited to finally see a direct flight that connects two of the fastest growing tech hubs in the U.S., he says. Greater access by directly linking our tech communities will foster greater collaboration across companies such as Digital Turbine. And entrepreneurs, too, will likely frequent the flight, says Adam Klein, chief strategist at Durham startup hub American Underground. American Underground has two partner hubs in the Google for Entrepreneurs Network in Austin, Capital Factory and Galvanize. American Underground-based startups will have an even easier time accessing that ecosystem and resources, he says. Add in the fact that Austin giant Dell Technologies recently acquired one of Research Triangle Park's largest employers, EMC, and it's easy to see why RDU thought the route would fly. RDU spokesman Andrew Sawyer says the Austin flight was the product of years of conversations and not the result of incentives or a push by any specific employer. As for Delta, its overall interest in RDU appears to have increased over the past several months. In addition to the much talked about direct flight to Paris that began in May, recently announced additions to its RDU lineup includes flights to Salt Lake City, Washington, D.C., Seattle, debuting in June, and Newark, debuting in November. Anthony Black, spokesman for the Atlanta Airlines, says Austin was a logical pick for its RDU operation. Austin was the largest unserved market from Raleigh-Durham, he said, on October 24th. The flight is scheduled to leave RDU at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and arrive in Austin at 10:40 a.m. Central Time. The return trip departs Austin at 11:15 a.m. and arrives back at RDU at 3:10 p.m. He said, "We are engaging in the conversation." Michael Langoff, president and CEO of RDU Airport Authority, talking about the possibility that the airport could secure a flight to China in 2019. The airport board recently passed its Vision 2040 site plan, which means a new runway, a requirement for a direct flight to Asia, he says. In strong numbers, RDU sees rise in passengers in September. Even in a seasonal slowdown, new flight additions are adding up to year-over-year increases at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. For September, the RDU Airport Authority reports a total of more than 457,000 in-plane passengers for the month, and 13.7% increase from the same time period last year. Top five RDU carriers by passenger count in September: Delta, 136,183. America, 120,841. Southwest, 90,815. United, 60,855. And JetBlue, 21,373. Delivering, Google Express debuts in NC. Google Express is hitting the triangle. The company announced it on October 25th that it was expanding its two-day delivery service to the state of North Carolina. Brian Elliott, the California-based general manager for Google Express, says the service is unlike competing tech platforms such as Amazon Prime, which debuted its Prime Now service in the triangle earlier this year. You can actually shop from a range of merchants you love to shop at today, he says. Customers can use the app to shop at stores such as Costco, Whole Food Market, PetSmart, and Kohl's. While there's a free trial period, customers will end up either paying as they go, starting at $4.99 per order, or becoming members for $95 per year. Big step, Watson to help IBM battle cancer. IBM Chief Health Officer Dr. Kiyu Ri is calling a new benefit being offered by IBM to employees life-changing. IBM announced this month that it would be collaborating with clinical consultant Best Doctors in allowing both IBMers and their families to assess Watson's suite of oncology offerings for insights on their own cancer treatments. Watson, IBM's flagship Jeopardy-beating cognitive computing platform, will be offered to those covered under IBM's U.S. medical plan starting January 1st. IBM says patients will feed relevant data, including medical records, to Watson, which would then generate a report to be reviewed by expert oncologists. A final assessment will be provided to the patient and doctors. "I've never gotten such a positive kind of feedback before," Ree says. "It's just this sense of pride people have that the work they're doing is helping their fellow IBMers." Ree says he is seeing firsthand how Watson has been applied overseas at hospitals with limited resources. Oncologists at UNC Lineberger Comprehensive Cancer Center, too, are experimenting with the data. "We believe as an employer of choice, providing this offering," he says, explaining that it is humanly impossible for a doctor to keep track of every piece of medical literature. "There are 8,000 research articles published a day," he says. Watson has been programmed to digest and translate that data. We're continuing now with a little healthcare news. Raleigh's CCNC secures partnership with Wilmington healthcare firm. Raleigh-based Community Care of North Carolina is partnering with Wilmington-based Medicare ACO Physicians Quality Partners. The partnership developed by New Hanover Regional Medical Center will see CCNC provide analytics tools to PQP aimed at identifying complex patients whose care can be significantly impacted through targeted interventions at the right time, according to CCNC. CCNC has acknowledged and analyzed our Medicare data, applied predictive risk modeling, and depicted our data in an actionable dashboard that helps us to deploy targeted interventions to change the trajectory for high-risk patients. Philip Brown, Chief Physician Executive of New Hanover Regional Medical Center, said in a statement, "We are hopeful that this will move us a long way in reducing readmissions, improving patient safety, and boosting quality of life for our patients." Community Care of North Carolina, its partnership will also aid in lowering hospital costs, according to CCNC. "Our analytics help us identify the best opportunities and methods of intervention, allocating resources efficiently and driving down costs," said L. Allen Dobson, Jr., CEO of CCNC, in prepared remarks. "As reimbursements move toward pay-for-value approaches, population health efforts of this sort are essential to a hospital's financial success." Ouch! Blue Cross Blue Shield announces rate increases. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, the only insurer that will offer Affordable Care Act plans on the individual market in all 100 North Carolina counties for 2017, recently announced a rate increase of 24.3%. While the approved rate hike is much lower than some states such as Pennsylvania, Arizona, Minnesota, and Tennessee, it falls in line with a national average of about 25%, according to the ACASignups.net. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time for this edition of Triangle Business Journal. I hope you listen next week. If you'd like to be a sponsor of TBJ or any other programs, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. Again, the number is 919-832-5138. This is your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill. I'll see you next time on the radio. Thank you.